Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, with Peter Aker and Moy Leslie, and featuring Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikov. The Bread and Butter.
Why can't they go to Benidorm, William, and lie on their towels, or whatever they do?
I don't know, sir. Well, maybe it's full up.
Or better still, stay at home. What on earth brings them here? There's no sun, no fun, no discos.
Curiosity about foreign parts, I suppose, sir. You know, the lure of the exotic.
Yes, well, 6 nights in the tourist hotel may be an exotic experience in some ways, but it hardly puts you in the Marco Polo League.
Well, I suppose, too, sir, that this new openness and reform policy has stimulated quite a lot of interest in the West.
Openness and reform is all well and good, William, but from a consular point of view, I'm starting to think that Cold War and xenophobia may well have been the good old days. It's not that I'm a snob, William.
Oh, good heavens,
but these package holidays, I regret to say, are simply bringing the wrong sort. Totally oblivious to the finer points. With no idea how to behave. William.
Yes, sir?
Just glance out of the window. There. Do you see? Down in the square is a living example of what I'm talking about. One of the Here We Go Brigade in a furry hat with Kiss Me Comrade on it, lighting his cigarette from the eternal flame. Where do they get it from, William?
Well, they are British subjects, sir. We do have to look after them.
Yes, but this concert of work isn't really our province. And we should be concerned with the parry and thrust of international politics. Not whether some intoxicated tourist has dropped his passport down the hotel lavatory.
Yes, sir. Usually closely followed by his traveller's checks and his air tickets for afters.
What happens to people abroad, William? They seem to succumb to some strange urge to fling all their possessions away. In fact, I sometimes think that going on holiday is a species of temporary insanity.
Yes, the gentle art of tourism, eh, sir? All life is there.
I dare say it is. But when I come in and see half of it queuing around the block, wanting us to give it 50 quid so it can get back home, I wish all life were somewhere else.
Well, it could only do good in the long run, though, sir. I mean, people are getting to know what other countries are all about and seeing that communists and capitalists both really only want the same thing.
What? Oh, yes, money.
World peace, I was actually going to say, sir.
Oh.
No, I think tourism will do a lot for peaceful coexistence in the long run, sir.
Do you think so? Oh! You know that hooligan who was lighting his cigarette at the eternal flame a moment ago?
Yes, sir.
An irate passerby has just punched him on the nose.
He'll
probably be here in a second, demanding we declare war and mobilise the army.
Well, I'd better go and limber up then, sir.
How many waiting down there this morning?
Four or five, I think.
Well, do impress upon them, William, as they recount their tales of woe, that we are not in the nappy-changing business, the money-lending business, nor are we a branch of Thomas Cook's, the travel agent. The least we can do for them is the most they can expect.
Yes, sir.
Well, other than that, be as helpful as you can. We don't want them going home, moaning to the MPs that the British Embassy would not help them in their hour of need.
No, sir. I mean, after all, at the end of the day, I mean, we're their servants, really, aren't we, sir?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they're our bread and butter.
Yes, but it would be pleasant just occasionally to get a little jam on it.
Well, I'm sorry about your nose too, Mr. Harris.
Not sorry as I am. If he'd still been around and I got me bearings, I'd have chinned him.
Do you think that venturing abroad, Mr. Harris, with a view towards chinning the local inhabitants is really the genuine spirit in which to travel?
He started it. I was only having a smoke.
Yes, but lighting your cigarette from the eternal flame on the tomb of the unknown soldier, Mr. Harris, not exactly the height of tact, is it?
If I'd have had some money, I'd have bought some matches. I only wanted a light. Didn't come here to get me face punched in, did I?
Well, why did you come here exactly, Mr. Harris?
Well, I thought it was going to be like Yugoslavia. You know, the old birds, booze, Uno Paloma blankets and that.
Right. Now, did you make a note of the numbers on the traveller's checks?
Oh, I never had no traveller's checks.
You didn't bring traveller's checks?
I don't believe in them. Paying commission, both ends and that, right rip-off, innit? Cash is handier.
Yes, and so much easier to lose, of course.
Nah, see? I bought some readies in, stuffed down my sock like, changed them on the black market.
Yeah, well, I think the less I know about that, the better, Mr. Harris, I think.
So I spent some, had about 100 left, and some light-fingered commie must have pocketed the lot, I reckon.
A moment ago you said you lost it, Mr. Harris. Now you say it was stolen.
Well, I don't know. Suppose it could have been either. But it's gone anyway, and I'm flying back this evening, see?
Well, if you're flying back this evening, you won't need any money.
Yeah, but I've got a few, outstanding items at the hotel. You know, the old beer ski, odd bottle of vodka, drinks all round a chov, all that.
Very well, Mr. Harris, I can probably authorise a loan, and I do stress a loan, of, say, £50.
Oh, that should just about cover it, yeah.
Well, I'll have to impound your passport, I'm afraid.
Do what? How am I going to get home without my passport?
No, Mr. Harris, I just stamp it impounded. When you return to the UK, the Customs and Immigration will retain it there and return it to you once the £50 is repaid.
Oh, well. Well, in that case, you couldn't make it 100, could you?
100?
Yeah, another 50 for spenders.
Mr. Harris, the consular facilities of the British Embassy are for emergencies only, not for handing out spenders.
Yeah, but I haven't got any souvenirs or me prezzies.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Harris, £50 is the limit.
Oh, well, I'll have to think of something.
Right, you have your passport?
Yeah, it's here. Didn't want to lose that as well after me money, guys, so I stuck it down me pants for safekeeping.
Just put it on the desk, would you? I won't keep you a second.
Sure. Here, before you disappear, pal, haven't got a light, have you?
Helen. Hello, Helen? Helen, what are you doing under the desk?
Impersonating a vacuum cleaner. What do you think I'm doing under the desk?
Well, I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be asking, would I? Have you got cramp?
I'm looking for a paper clip.
Well, just leave it. Use another one.
I haven't got another one. Move your feet.
You've only got one paper clip.
I've only had one paper clip for months.
Why don't you requisition some?
Because I haven't got any stationary requisitions.
Well, then why don't you requisition some of those?
Because I don't have any requisitions.
You have to requisition requisitions?
In this place, Willie, you have to requisition everything.
Well, if you haven't got any requisitions, why don't you just type a requisition out and send that in?
Well, that's precisely what I was doing when I lost my paperclip. It's not in your turn-up, is it?
It's hardly. I've only just walked in here. Hey, mind.
Helen. Oh, Helen. Are you kneeling on the floor with your hands round William's ankle for any particular reason?
Just looking for something, sir.
Oh, I thought maybe you were threatening to quit the job, William, and Helen was trying to persuade you otherwise, or threatening to stay with the same effect.
Oh, it's not there anyway. Something I can do, sir?
Yes, my appointment with the Italian ambassador. When is it?
11:15, sir. Oh, got it. Anything else, sir?
Oh, yes. Could you possibly let me have a paperclip?
Here, sir, you'd better have this one.
Yes, I seem to be getting a little low, Helen. Hadn't you better requisition some?
Yes, sir.
Well, carry on. Oh, just get my briefcase and papers. I hope what you're looking for turns up.
Did you want something?
Yes, have you got the passport impounded stamp?
There. Someone else lost their money.
Yeah, Neanderthal man on his Club Anyone holidays. Another 50 quid. I don't know why everyone's so ratty this morning.
Well, I'm sorry if I was ratty, William.
I mean, if anyone's got grounds to be peeved, it's me. I get all the broom and shovel work run up in the middle of the night by the state police because they've got some British tourist fighting the furniture in the hotel bar. This old Muggins gets them all. I'm too easygoing. I'm too soft. That's my trouble.
A heart like a sponge, Willie. And a head to go with it.
Well, it ought to be a bit harder on these tourists, like some of the other embassies. I mean, the French will only help those of their citizens who are unable to crawl.
Well, the British Diplomatic Service will never need their help then, Willie. The amount of crawling that goes on here.
Yeah, well, I'm not one of the forelock tuggers.
I never said you were.
I'll see you both later, then. Bye.
Oh, sir, right, sir. Have a good meeting, sir. Bye, sir. Mind how you go, sir.
Don't tug your forelock too hard, Willie. Your head might come off.
Right, we'll better get on then. Can't keep the public waiting down there too long. You might beat the desk up. Oh, Helen, you haven't got a paperclip, have you?
Sorry,
I forgot.
Hello, Helen.
Good afternoon, sir. Meeting went well, good lunch.
Caviar again, Helen.
Oh, dear. Not champagne as well, sir.
Great, sir.
Would you like one of your pills?
If you wouldn't mind. Any messages?
A few. One from the UK, from a domestic appliance manufacturer. Can we let him know who he has to bribe in order to enter the local market? And Colonel Surikov from the commissariat rang. I gave him an appointment for 3:30.
Oh, I better go and clear my desk in that case.
Yes, and don't forget to hide your whiskey, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Helen. I take it you have some work to do.
Yes, sir.
Colonel Surikov, do come in.
Mr. Ambassador, I am so underwhelmed to see you.
And I to see you, Colonel.
Please allow me to convey my government's heartiest suspicions and the warmest indifference.
You do me an honour, Colonel.
Not at all.
And may I reciprocate by transmitting my own government's enduring nervousness of your internal policies, hostility towards your foreign ones, and a general lukewarm attitude towards communism as a whole.
Oh, come, Mr. Ambassador, you're too kind. I grow weary of these compliments.
Oh, I assure you, Colonel, the low boredom threshold is entirely mine. Take a seat.
You have a pleasant lunch with the Italian ambassador.
As usual, you seem to know everything, Colonel.
I keep my ear to the grindstone.
And very well it looks on it too, Colonel, though I shan't inquire in that event what you do with your nose.
Well, this is more than a social call today, Mr. Ambassador. Delightful as it is for me to come here and wag my chin, I am here for other reasons. I regret to say, I bring grim news and sad tidings.
Bad news, Colonel?
Yes. In fact, I think perhaps it would be well for us to have a whiskey to mitigate any possible distress.
Oh, a whiskey?
As a precautionary measure.
Yes, well, I don't know if I actually have. I mean, at the moment,
But isn't that a bottle up there in the chandelier?
Is it? Oh, yes, so it is. I must have casually thrown it up there at an absent moment.
And the glasses, I think, under your hat on the desk.
So they are.
I will talk while you pour. Mm-hmm. Good. Yes, I am afraid I have to notify you that one of your fellow countrymen has, alas, passed away, Mr. Ambassador.
Passed away, Colonel? But here? When did this happen?
Not 2 hours ago in the tourist hotel. He would seem to have had a heart attack in the lobby while standing waiting for the lift. Oh. I regret nothing could be done to revive him, though I assure you we tried everything. The ambulance was called, and 2 men ran from the hospital with a stretcher as fast as they could, but all to no avail.
Oh, dear, that is bad news.
Yes, yes, the trouble, the paperwork, the next of kin.
Where is the body, Colonel?
It is reposing at the moment, Mr. Ambassador, at the People's Republic Dead Body Factory number 16.
Ah.
You will find him there with his personal effects, of which there are few. He did not seem dressed for the climate, Mr. Ambassador, which may have contributed to his condition.
Well, I know you deem 10 layers of underwear to be essential even in midsummer, but we British take a more robust view of the matter.
His views may have been robust, Mr. Ambassador, but had his underwear been robuster, he may not be lying where he is today. I am sorry to be the bringer of such bad news.
But obviously we in no way attach any blame to you, Colonel.
Thank you. It makes a refreshing change.
I'll send someone over to take care of the details.
Good. I trust this unfortunate incident will not receive too much adverse publicity, nor cast a shadow over our sibling tourist industry. Perhaps you could make it clear that his death was in no way associated with the hotel meals.
Insofar as that is accurate, Colonel, yes, of course.
Ah, life is short, Mr. Ambassador. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. As your poet says, ask not for whom the bells toll. They are ringing for me and my gal.
Yes, well, almost, Colonel.
Almost is as good as a feast. Or as our national poet says, I am a mayfly, my life is an hour. When I lie down and don't get up again, it's something worse than the cold.
It's very moving, Colonel.
Yes, yes. When you have to go, you have to go.
Do you have to go, Colonel?
I could stay for another whiskey.
What, a stiff, sir?
No, William, not a stiff. I am instructing you to deal tactfully and discreetly with the sad and unexpected demise of a British subject, not to gumshoe on down the morgue and check out the stiffs.
No, sir. Sorry, sir.
Upper lips are stiff, William. Corpses are deceased. The Raymond Chandler approach to diplomacy is not one I favour.
No, sir, sorry. Just a joke, really.
Yes, well, let us not forget, William, that someone somewhere in the UK is expecting home a relative who is not going to arrive, and it is our duty to inform them of this tragic loss as sympathetically as possible and return the deceased to them with as much dignity and expedition as we can muster. Though I don't deny for a moment that the paperwork is horrendous.
Yes, I was afraid it might be.
The complexity is labyrinthine, and the one thing you can expect for all your trouble is no thanks for it.
Well, it's very good of you to give me the opportunity to acquire this experience.
No, it'll be invaluable, William. This may be the first time, but it won't be the last. You'd better study the procedure manual. If you get into any difficulties, come and see me.
Yeah, you don't think in view of the problems a pair of more experienced...
No, not really, William. You'll find everything down there. Colonel Sulikov has told them to expect you.
Yes, sir. I'll get down there now.
Yes?
Sir?
Yes, William.
Sorry to bother you, sir.
Not at all. You were rather a long time, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
You ran into difficulties, did you, William? Thought you might get out of your depth of fraction, in a little over your head. Yes, yes. Nothing to be ashamed of. We all need a little expert advice from time to time. A guiding hand to point us in the right direction. Take a seat, will you? And we'll go through the forms. So what problems have you run into?
Well, it's not that I've run into difficulties exactly, sir.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, beginner's luck, eh?
At least not with the paperwork. I mean, I haven't even started that.
Well, you really ought to be making some kind of inroads.
No, you see, I've just come from the morgue. The mortuary, sir. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I don't think he's British.
But the body? Not British?
No, sir.
But of course he's British, William. Colonel Surikov assured me
I think Colonel Surikov hasn't even told us a quarter of the full story, sir. Never mind a half of it. There are no papers, there's no means of identification on the body whatsoever.
Nothing at all.
I can't find any record of him either. I've talked to all the British tour operators, none of them admits to having lost a client.
Not that they would if they had. Tour operators seem to hold their clients in the same regard as battery farmers do their chickens.
Yes, but most package tourists have to share a room, and no one's lost a roommate. There's no record of anyone not claiming their key.
You checked through the passports kept at reception?
Well, the ones that you must on no account surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, I've been through them all. But I mean, none of the pictures look anything like him. Mind you, none of them look much like anyone. So I thought possibly, he could have got here under his own steam.
Well, possibly, but they do keep pretty close tabs on individual travellers.
Yeah, I mean, facially, he doesn't look British. I mean, not just facially.
In what other words?
Well, it just seems too well off. You know what most British tourists are like, sir? They look like they were thrown off a plane with a luggage.
Yes, got on with the meals.
I mean, this chap, he's wearing a Rolex Oyster watch, a gold bracelet, gold pen, and he hasn't stinted himself on a gold medallion.
Wedding ring?
Yes, but no sounds of lamentation and sorrow booming down the hotel corridors asking where's my hubby. I mean, frankly, sir, I think Surikov's got the embarrassment of a body in the tourist hotel, and instead of taking responsibility for it himself and finding out whose it is, he just tries to fob it off on us.
Well, in that case, we shall have to fob it back, William.
Though I did think, sir, that he might possibly be an American.
What made you think that, William?
Well, his socks, sir.
Oh, different colours, were they?
No, sir. It's worse than that.
Not accept responsibility, Mr. Ambassador?
I'm afraid not, Colonel.
For one of your own people?
There seems little, if any, evidence, Colonel, that the deceased is one of our own people, and I cannot accept responsibility until I have proof that he was.
So, this is the famous British welfare state in action. From the grave to the cradle, I believe, was once the expression. But now, the individual is not only responsible for educating himself, performing medical operations upon himself, and paying himself a wage when he does not have a job. He is also responsible for getting himself home when he is dead and for making arrangements to bury himself.
Colonel, this kind of incident occurring in your hotels I would deem to be your responsibility. This is, may I remind you, the British Embassy. Not some sort of lost property office where you hand in bodies and we keep them for 3 months until someone claims them. And I'd hardly describe your conduct as cricket.
From what I have seen of cricket, I will take that as a compliment. And as for your own uncooperative attitude, well, it's not exactly water polo.
The man is probably one of your own people, Colonel.
Oh, impossible. Only foreign visitors with appropriate passes are allowed into the tourist hotels. Staff accept.
Well, I cannot accept responsibility for the deceased, Colonel, until there is incontrovertible evidence that he is a British subject.
You couldn't, as a small favour, take him off our hands?
Not even as a microscopic favour, I regret, Colonel.
The paperwork, Mr. Ambassador, is horrendous. The complexity...
Labyrinthine, Colonel.
The duplicate forms have to be filled out in triplicate.
I can sympathise, Colonel, but that's all I can do. I suggest you try the American Embassy.
Yes, perhaps if I approach Ambassador Weinberg. So, shall we have...
I think you'll find Ambassador Weinberg has a bottle of bourbon, actually, Colonel.
Indeed? Oh! Well, in that case, I will not detain you further. Good day.
I merely suggested that Colonel Surikov make inquiries in your direction, Spire. I did not send him round to see you.
Well, I personally resent you trying to make me responsible for dealing with this poor guy and putting ideas into Sir Rykov's head about coming round drinking my best Jack Daniels. Trying to hang your dirty washing on my line like that, Mac? Well, it's not what I call baseball.
No, Spider.
I mean, look, let me factualize you for a second here and do a little statisticalization.
I beg your...
What? Do you know how many Americans die abroad worldwide in the course of an average year?
Yeah, well,
in the region of 5,000 to 6,000, Mac. 5,000 to 6,000. Yeah, yeah. They've all got to be flown home, the next of kin notified by the paperwork
alone.
They're
surrender, Spider.
Yeah. Mm. The complexities. They're very complex. I got a big workload, Mac. I got 3 guys like this one at the morgue lying on my desk already. But this guy's got no ID, Mac. You got no ID. You're a non-person. Even dead, you don't exist. There's nothing at all to indicate the poor guy was an American citizen.
That is ample evidence, Spider.
Look, he didn't have a crew cut. He wasn't wearing a Vote Republican badge.
He was wearing Farrar slacks.
Oh, Farrar slacks are internationally retail outleted.
A button-down collar.
Proves nothing.
His cigarette case was full of American cigarettes.
A brand of butts available all over, Mac.
And he was wearing white socks. The bat, I believe, is what you would call the clincher.
White socks? White socks? So what does that show? That he'd been to the laundry?
Oh.
Why should that make him an American?
With brown shoes.
Something wrong with white socks and brown shoes?
It was not that long ago, Spider, that the affectation of brown shoes was regarded as the hallmark of a cad, and the affectation of white socks with them was probably indicative of insanity.
Oh, well, say, what century is the British Diplomatic Service living in these days, Mac? You still stuck in 17-something, or have you moved on to the 1800s?
There are such things as standards, Spider.
There's such stuff as horse feathers, Mac.
Well, as far as our nameless friend in the mortuary goes, we are unable to take delivery, and the ball, so to speak, is in your court.
Well, it's an incomplete pass. I told Sir Rykov to go try the French embassy.
Well, what makes you think the man was French?
He was wearing an Yves Saint Laurent pullover.
Oh,
and he looked kind of debauched, Mac, you know, the way the French do. Like he just crawled out of the cat house or something.
Well, worth a try, Spider. And if they won't have him, of course, there's always the Japanese embassy.
You think he looked Japanese? I don't think his eyes were right.
No, but he was carrying a Japanese camera.
Oh, yeah, sure, Mac. And he looked out of condition like he had a little blubber on him. You think maybe he's an Eskimo?
Well, it's pretty appalling, really.
Yeah, the unknown citizen. Was he free? Was he happy? Who cares? Let's get rid of him.
Unwanted citizen, more like. Fancy being shunted round the embassies of the world like a package in a game of international pass the parcel. Hawked about door to door like clothes pegs.
Do people still come round with clothes pegs?
Well, tumble dryers then, you know what I mean. And what about the poor man's relatives?
Yeah, well, maybe he hasn't got any. I mean, no one seems to have missed him. He's just disappeared like a piece of human small change down the back of the sofa of life.
Did the House magazine ever publish those poems you sent them, Willie?
No, they returned them, actually. Why?
No reason. Anyway, it isn't so much that he's disappeared without trace as that he's arrived without trace.
Yeah, it is amazing, though. I mean, in a world where 100 mailing lists have got your name, where someone somewhere knows what teeth you have, your blood group, your credit rating, your marital status, and the site of your birthmark, we can't make a move without someone's curtains twitching. There's still people who can fall down through a crack in the system and never be seen again.
Well, I don't see why we can't simply fly him back and give him a dignified burial.
Well, he's not a British citizen, Helen. You know how tight the immigration rules are.
Well, I know some people go to extraordinary lengths to get into the country, William, but don't you think that dying is going a little far? Mm. Where's the buck got to now?
Still on the move. No sign of it stopping. Last I heard, they were trying the Nigerian embassy.
But he wasn't black, was he?
I don't think bothered about that, as long as someone will have him. Anyway, there are white Nigerians, actually. But it is a long shot.
Well, it surely can't be the first time this sort of thing's happened.
Yeah, probably not.
You'd think there'd be a memorial to the unknown tourist.
Yeah, with eternal flame, like on the unknown soldier out in the square. Helen?
What is it, Willie?
I think I know who it might be.
Who? The unknown soldier?
No, our friend in the morgue.
Well, he's not exactly my friend, but any friend of yours.
I thought there was something about him I recognised, and I didn't think of it until now.
His face? His socks?
No. His jacket.
Well, what about it, William?
Well, it's leather, sir. I mean, he's wearing a leather coat.
Well, how does this help us with the process of elimination? I mean, it often appears to me, William, that there are more human beings with leather coats than there are cows with them.
Well, no, it's not just that, sir. There's also a small cigarette burn on the cuff.
Yes?
Well, I've seen it before. Do you remember that tourist we saw lighting his fag from the eternal flame?
Yes.
Well, he came to the embassy because he'd lost all his money, and we had to lend him £50 to settle his hotel bill.
I trust you impounded his passport, William?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good.
But he also wanted some extra money for spenders, sir.
Spenders, William?
Well, you know, to buy his presents and souvenirs.
Well, I sincerely hope that spenders were not forthcoming, William. It is not the function of Her Majesty's government to supply its citizens with spenders. Quite the contrary, in fact. It is the function of the citizens to give spenders to the government.
Yeah, well, no, sir, I didn't give him any more than the minimum. In fact, I sent him away with a bit of a flea in his ear.
Well, how'd you send him away, William, with a whole colony of fleas in his ear? It would have been no more than he deserved.
No, sir. Well, then I realised just who the dead man probably is.
It's the body of our tourist friend.
Oh, no, sir, it's not him. It's not Mr. Harris, because he's back in the UK.
Then what is all the excitement about, William?
Well, I remember that Harris was wearing a leather jacket when he was here, also with a cigarette burn on the cuff. Now, I remember noticing it when he signed for the money. So the jacket and the cigarette burn are identical to that on the dead man.
William, what does this prove, other than that people who wear leather jackets are careless smokers?
It must be the very same jacket, sir. I mean, my theory is that Harris sold the dead man his jacket to get some money just to buy souvenirs. In fact, I was so certain, sir, I rang Harris in England.
I hope you reverse the charges, William.
Well, anyway, I had a bit of trouble getting through to him at first, sir.
Yes, he struck me as the type you'd have trouble getting through to.
Anyway, but when I finally did, and assured him that, you know, he wasn't any sort of trouble, he admitted that that was exactly what he'd done.
So who does this make the deceased, William?
Well, a tout, sir.
A tout? Or a member of the parallel economy, you mean?
Yes, sir, you know, one of the local communist wide boys, you know, who hang about the hotel corridors going, psst, hey you, you know, changing money on the black market, asking if you want to sell the trousers you're standing up in, or the leather jacket you're wearing.
I see, but Surikov maintains it is impossible for the locals to get into the tourist hotels unless they work there.
Yes, sir. Well, or unless they happen to know a friendly member of staff, or the whereabouts of the fire escape door. I mean, no one on the staff would risk identifying him for fear they'd get into trouble themselves.
Yeah.
So he's probably from the provinces somewhere, sir. If you ask Surikov to get the police in the outlying areas to take a look for their mugshots, I bet they'll find him in there.
Right. Well, recommend that course of action to him, William. If this is true, it will be red faces all round, and not, for a change, eyes. Well done. Helen?
Yes, sir?
Colonel Surikov, please. There they go, William.
Sorry, sir?
Another conga of tourists playing follow my leader across the square.
Oh, yes, sir.
En route to pay the respects to the unknown soldier, thence to see the exhibition of economic achievements, on to the Hall of Science, the museum, the bicycle factory, the ballet, the circus, and then off home to tell their friends they've done communism, quite oblivious to the fact that communism has done them.
Yes, sir.
Yes, if this is package tourism, William, it only confirms what I've always suspected, that little of any value ever came out of a package.
Well, with exceptions, sir. In fact, well, I went on a package holiday myself once, sir, and, well, quite enjoyed it, really.
Did you, William? Well, I certainly shan't mention it if you don't.
Oh, thank you, sir.
On the other business, William, you handled that rather well. It was a good bit of,
gumshoe work, sir?
Detective work on your behalf. Well done.
Thanks.
Come in.
Sorry to disturb you, sir.
Mm.
Two British nationals down in reception. They've mislaid their passports and air tickets. Can we help them, please?
Oh, right. I suppose we'd better. Job for you there, William.
What, me, sir? But I've only just... All right, yes, sir. I'll go down.
There is one other thing, actually, sir.
Yes, Helen?
Well, apparently someone's left a baby in reception, sir.
A baby?
A baby, Helen?
Yes, sir, a baby. They've left it there in a paper bag.
Well, what sort of baby?
A loud baby, sir. A very loud, wet baby.
Oh, good God, a baby? What are we going to do with a baby?
Yes, well, a job for you there, I think, William.
In The Bread and Butter, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mr. Mackenzie, Peter Aker as William Frost, Maura Leslie as Helen Waterson, Stephen Greif as the United States Ambassador, Stephen Rashbrook as Harris, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikov. Flying the Flag was written by Alex Shearer and produced by Pete Atkin.